Praise be Jesus and Mary. This evening, with this Holy Mass, we begin the sacred Triduum, remembering in a most solemn way the mysteries of our redemption. In the closing prayer for this Mass, we pray, grant, Almighty God, that just as we are renewed by the supper of your Son in this present age, so we may enjoy his banquet for all eternity. So that is very important, to remember that these holy days are all about our redemption, that we may enjoy the eternal banquet with our Lord. It is all about our eternal salvation, our salvation from an eternal damnation. So in these 3 days, we should see everything in that light. So specifically this evening, we celebrate the institution of the sacred priesthood, holy orders, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, truly and substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament, and the commandment of fraternal charity. So we should see these three in relation to our salvation. First of all, we should call to mind that our Lord, by redeeming us, has opened the gates to heaven, which were closed due to Adam's sin. And now it's up to us to avail ourselves of those graces of redemption and persevere in that grace until the end, in order to be saved, because he who dies in mortal sin is eternally lost. And he who perseveres to the end in the state of grace is saved. And how many souls are lost? As our Lord tells us in the gospel, he says, enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there are who go that way. How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. The Catechism of the Catholic Church actually cites this passage in the part where she teaches about hell, and says this, the affirmations of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church on the subject of hell are a call to the responsibility incumbent upon man to make use of his freedom in view of his eternal destiny. So there's a responsibility to use our free will correctly. They are at the same time an urgent call to conversion. And this is what our Lenten journey has been all about the ongoing conversion that each one of us should be experiencing. Saint Faustina, in her diary, recounts a vision of these two paths that our Lord talks about in the Gospel. She says, I saw two roads. One was broad, covered with sand and flowers, full of joy, music, and all sorts of pleasures. People walked along it, dancing and enjoying themselves. They reached the end without realizing it. And at the end of the road, there was a horrible precipice, that is, the abyss of hell. The souls fell blindly into it. As they walked, so they fell. And their number was so great that it was impossible to count them. Right? So we see there Saint Faustina's description of that wide and easy path. She makes mention that there are all kinds of joys and pleasures, singing and dancing, and that the souls who were on that path didn't even realize that they were headed toward destruction and how many, many souls there were. She says, too many to be counted. Then she talks about the other path. And I saw the other road, or rather a path, for it was narrow and strewn with thorns and rocks. And the people who walked along it had tears in their eyes, and all kinds of suffering befell them. Some fell down upon the rocks, but stood up immediately and went on. At the end of the road, there was a magnificent garden filled with all sorts of happiness, and all these souls entered there. At the very first instant, they forgot all their sufferings. So that is very, very useful to us, this private revelation given to Saint Faustina with quite a few details and food for meditation and examination. Which path, which road do we find ourselves on? The description of those souls on the wide path or the description of those souls on the narrow path fits our form of life. We need to examine that. So this sacred triduum, meditating more assiduously on the mysteries of our salvation, is a special time of calling all souls to the responsibility incumbent on them to make right use of their freedom in view of their eternal destiny, as the Catechism says. It is an urgent call to conversion, because these are the mysteries of our salvation, our redemption. Now, with regard to the Eucharist and our salvation, our Lord said in the Gospel, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." For this reason, the Church makes it obligatory to receive the Eucharist at least once a year, because our Lord said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." Therefore, the bare minimum, obligatory to have life in you, is to receive at least once a year. This is one of the precepts of the Church. But we need to be sure that we are receiving the Eucharist worthily. A very important word there, worthily. As we pray in the offertory prayer of this Mass, quote, "Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that we may participate worthily in these mysteries." Because if we participate unworthily, what happens? We eat and drink our own condemnation, as St. Paul teaches in his letter to the Corinthians, the letter that was the first reading of tonight's Mass. The first reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, in which he affirms the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The reading ends at verse 26, the first reading of tonight's Mass. But this is what verse 27 and the following verses go on to say. Quote, "Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself." Now, what does it mean to eat and drink unworthily? It means to receive the Eucharist in the state of mortal sin, having committed a sin that we know is serious, and we freely do it. For example, missing Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation through our own fault. That is a serious sin that so many are committing today. So to receive Holy Communion in that state constitutes a further sin, still more grievous, of sacrilege. Sacrilege against the body and blood of Christ. The angel of Fatima spoke of this when he prayed, quote, "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference with which he himself is offended." You see that? The angel of Fatima making reparation for sacrilegious communions. Now, unfortunately, think about how many sacrileges against the Eucharist will be committed precisely during these holy days. So many souls coming to Mass who usually do not come and going to receive Holy Communion without having cleansed their souls in confession. My God, have mercy. So it is of the utmost importance that we receive communion in the state of grace. And so this evening, we begin to meditate on the sacred mysteries of our redemption, hopefully having prepared ourselves with a good confession so as to not have our Lord's unlimited love and self-sacrifice been done in vain with respect to our souls. Let us resolve to live holy lives in this way, show our Lord our genuine gratitude for such great gifts as the Eucharist and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.